Sunday Morning's Thoroughbred Magazine. For the next hour, we're talking horses. Here's Joe McKinnon.
Chad gets going down the outside. Red Excitement being tackled by Happy Clapper, but Winks is chiming in. Here we go again. Winks from right out the back. Powers away from Happy Clapper and Fox Play, and the champ makes it 20 in a row. Winks goes on to win it from Happy Clapper. Fox Play a distant third, followed then by McIntyre.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Talking Horses. Wow, Winks did it again yesterday, winning her 20th straight in the Group 1 George Main Stakes. It was yet another walk in the park for the champion mare, for who we are fast running out of superlatives. And overnight at Sedgenhoe in the Hunter Valley, her baby sister was born. Peter O'Brien confirming the news and telling us she is very fit and healthy, which is tremendous. On this week's program, we come to you from the nation's biggest jumping show, the Australian Show Jumping Championships, that are being held at Werribee Park. The country's best riders and horses have converged, and this afternoon the championships for junior, young rider and senior riders will be decided. We catch up with Jess Barton and Stephen Pateman, who are now running a very successful business here in Victoria, combining equestrian and racing. Plus, big news for Equestrian Victoria. More on that with the CEO, Fiona Baxter. Plus, we hear about an exciting new reality TV program called Jump Off. Our first guest this morning is Victorian breeder and owner Colleen Bamford. She joins us to discuss the welcome success of Melbourne Cup winner Americane's progeny on the racetrack.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Welcome back to the program. Americane is starting to get winners all over the world, including some key runners here in Australia. And Colleen Bamford joins us to talk more about a couple of those prospects, including Amarok, who looks one of the more talented of the bunch. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning, Joe.
Well, exciting times with Americane. He's really starting to stamp his authority on the second season sire ranks.
Yes, he's right up there. And We're pretty confident that he's going to make it as a sire, and he certainly has started off this season very well.
He's had some nice winners in various parts of the world of late.
Yeah, he has some unusual ones too. He actually had a winner in Barbados a little while ago on, I know, which was quite funny. Adam Sangster tells him they have quite a nice track in Barbados. And he even had a two-year-old winner in Nevada just a couple of weeks ago on dirt over 1,000 metres. So he's getting them over all sorts of distances and all sorts of tracks.
Who would have thought Americane would sire a winner in Nevada on dirt over 1,000 metres?
Yeah, I know. I was actually quite surprised. And when I watched the race, he really showed a heck of a turn of foot, which, Americane did win races as a two-year-old. And you know, a lot of people sort of think that he was just a stayer, but he won over 1,400 metres, and he had such a great turn of foot that there's no reason why he really shouldn't produce, winners over all different distances.
And importantly, here in Australia, he's lately been getting some good winners too.
Yeah, well, he certainly started off this month very well. Amarok is, the standout at the moment, and he... when we retired Americane to stud, we specifically got Robert Ralston, a bloodstock agent, to buy us some a dozen mares to put to Americane, and several of them are Zaville mares. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Zaville's just the greatest broodmare sire ever, and I know he'll go down as being that. But one of these mares is Miss Shamrock, who is a half sister to Fighting Son, and I mean, it's just a really lovely family. And she was in fold to Spart Missile when we bought her, and we sold that one to New Zealand, and it's run quite a few placings over there, Philly. But we purchased Miss Shamrock with specifically to put to Americane. And now we've got Amarok. So we bred him, we put him in the yearling sales, but Mark Hoare from Pacific Bloodstock had seen him as a foal, and he always loved him, and he bought him. And the first question after buying him was, will you stay in? And, of course, we said yes, which has been fantastic.
It sure has. And you've had just a bit of luck as an owner.
Yeah, we've had the odd winner or two, which is pretty fantastic, really. But, you know, the pressure's going to be on now for, American. It's very hard to say how good they all are until they're actually on the racetrack and they can prove it. But I've got quite a few people telling me that they've got a superstar in the making. So let's keep our fingers crossed for the rest of the spring carnival.
They can run, and they're nice types too, which makes them marketable at the yearling sales.
Oh, absolutely. See, American was an exceptional individual as far as conformation and temperament was concerned. So, and he's really putting that into his foals. But the one thing was, American, all through his career, he was incredibly sound. And, he was never lame. We never had a problem with any soundness issues. And, you know, a lot of that's got to do with his conformation. And he's certainly putting that into his foals. You know, Amarok's not an overly big horse, but he's certainly a very correct horse. And, he's our standout at the moment. So the decision at the moment is whether we keep going, because he has had a long preparation. But I think we're talking about, well, Darren Weir's talking about sending him in the Derby trial. It's either that or the paddock. And, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I'm hoping I'll head for the Derby trial.
And what are your longer-range plans to support this stallion as far as your brood mares go?
Well, we made some very nice purchases at the chairman sale early this year. We bought some beautiful mares, and we're still supporting him. We've got we bought another daughter of Let's Elope, and in fact, the Gay Waterhouse and Dynamic Syndications have the first colt. Out of Paris Trist, who's the daughter of Let's Elope, and he's trialling on Tuesday. We stayed in him as well. We bred him. His name's Hotel Amour, and so far the reports on him are very good. But we've made, you know, we have specifically bought a lot of very, very well-bred, and I might add pricey, mares to put to American, so we want to give him every chance. Jerry Ryan's doing the same thing. So, We really do believe in him.
And are you finding then within the breeding community that the mood is generally pretty buoyant around American at the moment, given the success that he's having and that good quality support that he's got coming behind him?
Oh, look, I mean, at this stage, the last year, I guess, since he's had two-year-olds that are in work with trainers, you know, it's very nail-biting. It's a time when, you know, it's a very fickle industry at times. People can go off very quickly. But so far, everyone that I've spoken to, the trainers, bloodstock agents, no one dislikes them. Everyone likes them. They've got good attitude. They're sound. And so far, the reports are really good. And look, it could be quite a funny story. My daughter actually bred she has a thoroughbred mare that she rode and was a dressage horse. But she's actually by. She's not terribly well bred, but she's by a Sydney Cup winner, a horse that David Hayes trained. So she's got a colt called him Mr. Worldwide, and he's actually in work at the moment. And he's showing really, really good ability. So that might be a really funny story one day if he makes it. And so far, he's looking pretty good. So, we're quite confident. We're sort of waiting for, hoping over the spring carnival that we have a Derby runner or just a couple of nice races would be lovely. But not just us, but, you know, anyone that's got an American. And I mean, there's a couple in today, not in Victoria, but up north, and so I'm following them all. But, you know, we've just got to keep our fingers crossed, and I'm pretty confident that American is going to make it as a stallion. So the talk around the traps is that everyone likes them so far, and everyone's happy to have one in their barn.
Mm. And wonderful for the Victorian breeding ranks in general. It was a bold move to stand a Melbourne Cup winner at a major stud, but he's getting the support and now, importantly, the results, which will give him the momentum that he needs, and he still stands for a very reasonable fee.
Yeah, well, you know, at this stage, like in the beginning, when he first went to stud, I think a lot of experts were surprised at the amount of really quality mares that he got. But there was you know, that's what we had missing. We had missing a really well-bred, you know, stayer, basically, and that's not by Dane Hill or by a son of Dane Hill, or that, because most of the broodmares, you know, have got Dane Hill blood in them. So, you know, there was the opportunity to stand a horse like him. And, I mean, it's now at the point where, you know, a lot of people would buy or buying stayers from overseas. Very hard to buy them anymore. We've got to breed them. And, you know, I think people started to sit up and realise that we needed a horse like Americaine. And also, you know, Fiorente, there's, you know, there's others getting around now that will hopefully breed horses that can run in these staying races. And I think, you know, the BRC is now, Racing Victoria is now looking at putting on more races over distance for, you know, three-year-olds. So it's opening up the market, and there was an opening for a horse like Americaine, and certainly with his breeding. So, yes, it was a brave move, but, you know, he'd given us an amazing ride, and... you know, a lot of people were very keen on breeding to him in that first year, and he, you know, he served quite a few mares.
Yeah, that's terrific. And he's also got a very talented trialer in Sydney this week.
Oh, with Hotel Amour. Yeah, well, Gay Waterhouse has got him, and Dynamic Syndications have got a pretty good opinion of him. Look, until they actually set foot in the track, it's very hard to know. But they've taken him along. Quite slowly, haven't rushed him. He's a big horse. He's trialling on Tuesday, so we're looking forward to that. But they do have a good opinion of him because Dynamic came back the next year and bought his full brother. So, you know, wait till Tuesday. Hopefully, it's only over a short distance. I think it's a 900-metre jump out on Tuesday. But hopefully he'll be heading to something, you know, during the Spring Carnival. But he's a lovely horse, Hotel Amour. And, you know, I mean, his sire won a Melbourne Cup and his grandmother won a Melbourne Cup. So, you know, you've got to think that he is a horse with a future in you know, some of those staying races.
Wow. Could you win another Melbourne Cup, do you think?
Oh, look, you know, winning one Melbourne Cup is beyond, you know, beyond everyone's dream. Or, you know, you think of having a runner in Melbourne Cup. We actually had five runners in the Melbourne Cup through the years, but to win a Melbourne Cup, you never really think you can do it, and then it happens. But to think that we might do it again, I don't know. It would be a fairy tale come true, but it would be very nice, that's for sure.
It's lovely to hear your passion about the breeding side of things and racing. You've been involved for a long time now.
Yes, we look. We've actually got an old horse out in the paddock that Robert Ralston was bought as a yearling that we bought in New Zealand. And he's just about, next week he turns 33 years old. Mm-hmm. And he won over $500,000. He still holds track record for the Canberra Cup. And he's an old horse. His name's Native Neptune. And he's still here. So, you know, he wasn't actually our first horse either. So we have been in racing a long, long time. But he's still working. He's in a paddock with some little yearling fillies, and he's like the old grandfather that looks after them. So, yeah, and he's in really good nick. And a 33-year-old thoroughbred is very unusual.
Yeah, it is. He's obviously been very well looked after.
Yes. Well, he gave us a lot of fun. We had a lot of... Look, he was actually entered to run in the Melbourne Cup, and I think he would have, you know, he would have done a good job in it. But he ran on McKinnon Stakes Day and jarred up, so we didn't run him. But, yeah, he gave us a lot of fun. So, you know, we've had a lot of horses since him. We've had a lot of good runners. But, yeah, Americaine is just, you know, he's a once-in-a-lifetime horse.
Well, Colleen, great to see he's having success on the racetrack and getting more and more support from breeders around Victoria and beyond, both in the breeding barn and at the yearling sales. And look forward to seeing how that horse goes in Sydney this week in the trial.
Yeah, okay, that'd be look great. I mean, I'm pretty confident that he'll go okay. And yeah, I know Americaine has a big future.
Thanks for joining us on Talking Horses, Colleen.
No worries. Thanks for the call, Joe.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Well, Fiona, the timing this week is perfect for the Andrews Labor government announcement for the Werribee Park Equestrian Centre revamp. They announced this week a $50,000 funding plan to complete the master plan for this centre, which is very exciting news for the sport in this state.
Yes, it's really exciting, and we really appreciate that the state government is stepping in and supporting equestrian sport, and that they've recognised that Werribee Park is the right place for a state facility. So we're really excited to work on that master plan with Sport and Recreation Victoria, with the intent to move forward to apply for more funding in the future to actually redevelop the site.
So this is a very important and fundamental step forward in the broader plan for a modern makeover of this equestrian centre.
Yeah, that's right. So for about the past 30 years, Equestrian Victoria and the Victorian Polo Club have been jointly managing the site with very little input from others, and we've really worked together to make the site the place to run equestrian sports. But it is getting a bit old and tired, and with the urban sprawl, areas like this are really coming under pressure. So to be able to establish the site into the future is really important for the sustainability of our sport.
And no doubt it's been very welcome news for the equestrian community, not just here in Victoria, but interstate as well, because a lot of top riders from other regions of Australia come here on a pretty regular basis throughout the year to compete at major events.
Yeah, the beauty of the Werribee Park site is it caters through from our grassroots participation and athlete development activities. So we run squads here, we have pony club events here, right through to that top Olympic level competition in eventing and show jumping and dressage. So yes, we're really excited. Our community is really excited, and it really does drive our sport into the future.
And it helps drive the Victorian economy too. Equestrian would contribute enormously to the Victorian state economy.
Yes, it does. It really does. And not only to the wider state economy, but particularly this Werribee Park precinct, where we're part of the recognised tourism precinct with the zoo, with the mansion hotel, with the wineries, the golf, and then also the equestrian centre that can really bring tourism into the area.
And with the Australian Show Jumping Championships being held here this week, the timing of this announcement is perfect because you've got a great audience to broadcast the news to.
Yes, and the site really is alive this weekend. So, we really encourage everyone to come down and have a look and see some of the most amazing equine and human athletes performing here this weekend.
It looks fantastic. The main competition arena surrounded by a huge trade village, and there are some fantastic initiatives that will take place this afternoon involving some of the big personalities from the racing industry, including Melbourne Cup winning jockey Michelle Payne.
Yes, we've got a really exciting jockeys challenge where you can see some jockeys actually going over some of the tall jumps, and that's a really fun event that spectators always enjoy.
Yeah, and how are you involved or enjoying your involvement in Equestrian in Victoria as the recently newly appointed CEO?
Yeah, it's definitely been a baptism by fire straight into it, but it's really exciting. So I come from a corporate sustainability and responsibility background, so I've been able to bring some of that governance to the organisation, which is great, but horses are my personal passion, so to be able to bring those two things together is really, really exciting.
Yes, you were a rider yourself growing up.
Yes, I've had a couple of off-the-track thoroughbreds as a young rider, and I still do ride, and my kids are starting to ride now too. So, definitely recommend the sport.
Yeah. And it must be great to have that background and knowledge and innate understanding of the intricacies of this sport, which can be complex at times.
Yeah, it can be complex. So not only do we have the complexity of the horse and the human in our sport, but we've also got such a variety of disciplines, from dressage through to camp drafting through to racing and mounted games, that the complexity of that, but also the variety that people can get involved with is really, really exciting.
And also a big move for the Equestrian Victoria office, which will be relocating very soon from here at Werribee Park to the Racing Victoria offices on Epsom Road.
Yes, yes. So all of our admin team are moving offices into the Racing Victoria building. Some of our other neighbours there will be writing for the disabled, racing.com. So it really is a equine-focused area, and we're really looking forward to just interacting with the other parts of our industry when we move over there.
It's ideal because we're seeing more and more racing, not just in Victoria but other states as well, linking in strongly with equestrian. The bridge is being sort of lessened now between the two sports, which is really good to see. So being there together under the one roof is going to help both sports, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And the opportunities to start linking more and more horses through into secondary careers after racing is really exciting. And I think we've all got not only a responsibility to do that, but it offers huge opportunities for both sides.
Exciting times. Well done on all you've achieved so far in the short time you've been in the role. Already some significant positive moves forward, and long may there be many more, because there's so much potential for equestrian sport in this state and beyond in Australia to go to a new level.
Yes. Yeah, we're really looking forward to the future. Thanks, Jo.
Great to see you.
Thanks.
The home of Victoria Spring Racing Carnival, RSN 927.
It was a superb day of racing at headquarters Flemington yesterday, with all bar one of the races black type. The opener was a listed affair over 1,100 metres, won by the Kieran Maher-trained Fox Swift, a three-year-old filly by Fox Wedge out of a Starcraft mare, Runway Runaway, sold through the 2016 English Premier Yearling Sale for $80,000. Race two was a listed race over 1,400 metres. Tony McAvoy's Royal Symphony looks promising, a beautiful-looking colt by Doomsday out of a Palace Music mare, Naturalist, not offered at the yearling sales. Is related to many winners, Diva La Belle, Gem Set, Good Music, Hoodlum, Insider's Favourite and Win Esprit. The third race, a listed event over 1,400 metres, Robert Smurden's Then's Where's My Friend was the winner. A four-year-old gelding by High Chaparral out of a Danehill mare, Blowin' in the Wind, sold at the 2015 New Zealand Bloodstock Premier Yearling Sale for $70,000, related to winners Petworth House and Quartermaster. The Group 2 Bobby Lewis, over 1,200 metres, won by the Lindsay Park Racing Team's Red Kirk Warrior. Love this horse. He's a seven-year-old gelding by Not Now Cato, not offered at a yearling sale. He's out of a Selkirk mare, Flag. The next event on the program was the Danehill Stakes, a Group 2 over 1,200 metres, and again it was Lindsay Park racing to the fore, this time with their Blue Diamond winning filly, Catchy. Now a three-year-old, of course, a daughter of Fastnet Rock, out of a Fusaichi Pegasus mare, Cat's Whisker. The Group 2 Let's Elope Stakes over 1,400 metres. Sword of Light successful, a four-year-old mare by New Approach out of a King's Best mare, Joyeuse, related to a winner, Sword of Justice. The Group 1 Maccabi Diva Stakes over 1,600 metres went to Humidor from the Darren Weir team, a five-year-old gelding by Teofilo out of a Zabil mare, Zalika, sold through the 2014 New Zealand Bloodstock Ready to Run sale. Winning siblings include Ernesto, Cafil and Marichal. The listed Japan Racing Association trophy for the stayers over 2,500 metres, and that was won by the Robert Hickmont-trained L. Mandan. For Team Williams, an eight-year-old gelding by Monsun out of a Tiger Hill mare, Anna Tola. And that's a wrap of Flemington. Lots of horses to follow out of this high-class meeting. It was a cracking day of racing at Randwick yesterday with the Group 1 George Main Stakes the feature. The undercard played host to a number of black-type races, including the listed Heritage Stakes over 1,100 metres, won by Godolphin's Viridine, a three-year-old colt by Poet's Voice out of an Anabar mare, Patina. The Group 3 Bill Ritchie Handicap over 1,400 metres, won by the Chris Waller-trained Coming Through, a four-year-old horse by Fastnet Rock out of a Bite the Bullet mare, Micah's Pride. Related to many winners, Anodite, Calibrate, Criterion, Our Pride and Joy, Outroar, Silently and Verenimis. The Group 2 T Rose stakes over 1,400 metres. Another winner for Godolphin, this time Alizy, a three-year-old daughter of Sepoy, out of an Exceed and Excel mare, Asuria. Winning relations include Astern, Marrakesh and Mogador. Chris Waller's Winx, the champion mare, winning the Group 1 George Main Stakes yesterday. We've heard her pedigree story many, many times. Of course, she's a daughter of Street Cry out of Vegas Showgirl and Al Akbar mare, who gave birth to a foal last night. Another one by Street Cry, making her a full sister to Winx. The Group 2 Furniture Shorts over 1,100 metres was won by Snowden Racing's Red Zell, a five-year-old gelding by Snitzel out of a Rubiton mare, Milrich. The Kingston Town Stakes, a Group 3 over 2,000 metres. Chris Waller to the fore again, this time with LeBron, a seven-year-old gelding by Lawman out of a Sadler's Wells mare, True Crystal. And that's a wrap on all things that happened in Sydney yesterday. Can't wait till Winx heads down south for that third attempt at the Cox Plate. Last week on the program, we spoke with Caroline Price, who's on the organising committee of the Australian Show Jumping Championships, and she alluded to an exciting new television project that is being launched, linking jumping with racing. And the woman behind it all, Kathy Grant, joins us on Talking Horses this morning. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How lovely you? Morning.
You enjoyed the show?
Yeah. We're having a fantastic time at the show. The Australian Show Jumping Championships are definitely the premier event on the calendar, so we're having a really great time.
You've been busy managing your children through competition here over the past few days, but you're also juggling a pretty big project called Jump Off. Can you tell us all about it?
Yeah, of course. Jump Off's really exciting. We've been working in the background for probably the last 18 months on storylines and the themes behind the show, and it will be fantastic to see it come to life in the next couple of months and go on air across the Seven Network during the Autumn Racing Carnival next year.
What exactly does it entail?
Okay, so it's a slightly complicated storyline, but essentially we're taking some of Australia's best racehorse trainers and then combining them with Australia's most elite show jumping riders and getting them to pick horses who have finished their racing careers and retrain them to compete as show jumpers. But we're getting all of the training tips, the reality of the ups and downs of training horses.
Of which there are many.
Yes, and piecing that together in the 10-part series, which culminates in a fairly prestigious show jumping event, which will probably have Australia's richest prize purse. So all of the show jumping fraternity will definitely be chasing the money, and I definitely say from a reality television point of view, the show will be really exciting to all Australians to have tune into.
And it's Australia's first equestrian reality show.
Yeah.
And racing, for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's just about time that we brought racing and equestrian together and combined them in a way that actually brings the excitement of both of those worlds to the general public. Mm. So this television show will enable that to happen, which is really exciting.
And you've got some really big-name horse trainers behind the concept.
Yeah, the trainers have been fantastic. You know, part of what their mantra is, I suppose, is that the horses need to have a really fantastic life after racing, and so many of them are very talented athletic horses, and the trainers are really keen to see those horses' talents promoted in this way.
And who are some of the equestrian people that will be involved?
Okay, so we've got a fairly star-studded lineup. We've got Russell Johnson, who's been to the Olympics and spends his life training horses and riders. David Cameron, one of Australia's leading show jump riders, has also won the Australian Show Jumping Championships for a couple of years. He and his wife will be a very talented team, and they'll be great to watch. Vicky Roycroft and everyone across Australia, and particularly in the equestrian world, is fairly familiar with the Roycroft name, but Vicky's a great lover of thoroughbred horses, and she's very behind the show. So that gives you a bit of a taste of the calibre of the people that are going to be involved in the making of the show and the training of the horses.
A lot of work has gone into the planning of this, and there's still a heck of a lot of work to come with the filming and the logistics behind this concept, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. This is like Big Brother on steroids. When you're combining horses and training of horses and athletes, yeah, it's a fairly complex logistics schedule that we are going to need to stick to get these horses into the ring over the next couple of months and then compete at the final in February.
Mm. And you've got support from the racing industry, Racing Victoria?
Yeah, Racing Victoria are very much behind the show because, you know, it's extremely important to them that the horses that race go on to have their second career to make sure that their lives are definitely as fulfilling as possible.
Mm. And it will make for great viewing, just the show jumping action alone.
Yeah, show jumping's really exciting. Across the world, and particularly with the Global Champions Tour, I think we've all seen what show jumping can become as a television spectacle, and that's definitely something that we're aiming for with this show.
Okay. So where to next? I guess filming has well and truly begun with launch in autumn next year on air. So
yeah.
It's only round the corner when you get a feel for what is involved in getting it to that point.
Yeah, it's a really tight schedule. The choosing of the horses is probably the thing that's heating up at the moment because everyone's out to select the best horses for their team. So the team being the racehorse trainer and the show jump rider, the teams are, you know, getting together to see what talent they can source. And there's going to be some hot competition out there.
Yeah, okay. Well, fascinating. It's a wonderful idea and can't wait to see it on air. So yeah. Scheduled for autumn next year on Channel 7.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll make sure there's some very strong promotional work behind it so that everyone knows about it, but that's, yeah, absolutely when it will be happening.
That's Kathy Grant.
They're a match made in heaven, a link between racing and equestrian like no other, between racing's Stephen Pateman and show jumping's Jess Barton, and they both join us on Talking Horses this morning. How are you both?
Yeah, well, thank you.
Been a busy week for you, Jess, in particular, as a competitor at the Australian Show Jumping Championships. How have you enjoyed the week out here?
Yeah, it's been a long week. We started on Wednesday, but the horses have jumped fairly well all week. I didn't have the greatest day today. I ended up retiring my horses from competition as the ground didn't really suit them. They're good ground horses and it's got a bit heavy, so they'll lift it by another day. But, yeah, it's been a great show regardless.
Well, it's Australia's premier jumping event, and this year the competition is as good as ever, and it's a World Equestrian Games qualifier.
Yeah, that's right. So tomorrow is the COC, so we'll see some big fences and some very exciting jumping, and no doubt we'll get a bit of insight into who's going to represent Australia over the next couple of years in the World Equestrian Games.
Now, Stephen, how did you get hooked up with Jess? Where did you both meet?
It was about 12 years ago. I did my best and got denied. So now I tried again 12 years later and 10 years later and here we are.
Wow. Was worth the wait?
Yeah, well, Jess is from Warrnambool, so I've spent a bit of time there and that's how we met anyway.
Yeah. And you're both now combining your horse skills. So you bring racing expertise to the business and Jess, you bring the equestrian expertise into the mix. How's that all working out for you both?
Yeah, really well. I'd say Jess brings a lot, very good horse management to the racing side of things because I think the equestrian horses are possibly harder to manage than the race horses. So she's very good at any problems they have and managing the horses with injuries and setbacks and things like that, so she is really good at that, and I do the work with the horses, and I obviously know the racing game with placing horses and things like that, so put both together hopefully it's a good recipe.
So we've got Pateman Racing on one side and Barton Equine on the other. How does your business function, Jess?
So I started off my business quite a few years ago now. I used to do a lot of instructing. I used to take kids to shows and do all that sort of thing, adjustments and everything. So I was flat out doing that. And then now I've taken a step back from that, but still am very competitive myself with my own horses. And now I'm putting all that into the racing and, like, a lot of my time into the racing instead. So I spend a lot of time doing flat work on the horses and schooling the horses and just trying to get them, just educate them, really basically, not to complicate it, but just so they're better for the jockeys to ride and better for the school.
It's a great combination of skills, and I've no doubt that that's translating to success on the racetrack. And we've seen that, Stephen, illustrated in Kieran Maher's business. He's very strongly focused on giving his horses a strong education process before they hit the racetrack.
Yeah, definitely. I broke my leg at the end of May, and I got to sit on the other side of the fence, and we're overwhelmed with all the jockeys, jump jockeys and flat jockeys, saying how well educated the horses were to ride. So if they're well educated in a race, they've got to be easier for the jockey and therefore hopefully perform better. So we think that's important, and we probably don't have the best quality of horses at the moment. So if we can have them well educated and fit, sound and happy, then that's all we can do.
And you've now got a dual licence, so you're training jumpers and planning to continue riding them when you come back from injury. How many horses are you working at the moment?
We've got 10 at the moment. We have had more, but changes all the time, so 10's a good number. Probably getting a bit quiet now with the jump season closing up, but we're very grateful for any opportunities we have with people that want to send us flat horses, so we're grateful for that. And most of the jumpers will probably come back in mid-November, early December anyway, so we'll be kept busy enough.
And Jess, your skills must be very valuable to Steve's business, training these jumpers to jump properly.
Yeah, so we put a lot of time into them just jumping really small fences in the indoor at home, and then schooling them cross country and stuff all over small fences, but just so that they just have really good basics, like just stop, go, turn, and they learn to, you know, that they can get in close to a fence and be safe jumpers rather than leery, and just so the jockeys, you know, have less to worry about during the run.
And what's the ultimate aim for you both now that you've joined forces in an official business capacity? What would be for you, Jess, firstly, the ultimate achievement? And for you then, Stephen, I'll get you to answer the question as well.
So as a partnership together, obviously our ultimate goal would be to train a Grand Annual winner. Me personally, I'd love to have a horse to go to the Wagga Olympics, or just even something good enough of international quality. But I'm very realistic about that, and if the right horse comes along at the right time and it all falls into place, I make the most of that opportunity. But I'm not holding my breath because I know that it's a very tough game.
And Stephen, what about you?
Well, we would like to support jump racing, and we feel that there's good opportunities there. It's given myself a good career, and want to support it with numbers and help the sport grow and going in the right direction that it is. And until I finish riding, which is a good way down the track, we, you know, as I said, we're grateful for any flat horses that come our way, and we just want to do our best, basically, like any. Well, we just want to have winners. Mm. Winning's the name of the game, so that's a start.
Yeah, a fair start. Now, tell us a bit about the base where you're training your horses from, Jess.
So we've got two properties. So we're very fortunate where you can work the horses at Barwon Heads. The racehorses are predominantly based there at 13th Beach. So we're within riding distance to 13th Beach. So they do the majority of their work there. We very rarely go to the track. And then obviously the Equestrian Centre at Little River, they spend a fair bit of time working there when they first come in. So we've also got a pretty close proximity to the Yuyang National Park. It's got kilometres of trails that we can work the horses through on really, really good quality even surfaces. So we're pretty lucky that we can put a fair bit of variety into the horses.
Oh, that's fantastic. What a great lifestyle it must be too, Stephen.
Yeah, definitely. I think very grateful to Racing Victoria for the opportunity to have a dual licence. It's actually saved my riding career. I was sick of riding track work for trainers and starting at ridiculous hours. And it's nice that we are now building a business and doing something for ourselves and just a healthier lifestyle and living out of town. So, we only started in late February and things are going great, and it's every day is exciting, and we're loving it.
And it sounds like and looks like the horses are loving it too, Jess. Regularly see your social media posts, and there are often pictures being posted from the beautiful beach rides you do.
Yeah, the horses they all come off the beach with a smile on their face every day, cheesy as it sounds. But they really enjoy their work, and we get a few down there that don't really adapt very well to track life, and it just does something to them being in the water, and there's no pressure, and it's just completely different for them. And I think working on a pristine surface every day certainly doesn't do them any harm. And all the walking they have to do is such good discipline for them. So it's a really different environment to what they're used to.
Well, great to catch up with you both, and enjoy the rest of the show. Of course, today, Sunday being the final day, there's much to look forward to with all the major championships to be decided. Jess, who's your money on? Do you think Jamie Kermond can hold on to his lead going into the final and make it back-to-back?
Oh, look, he'd be pretty hard to beat, and he's very good under pressure. I must say it was a shame to see Andrew Lamb have a fall on the first day, which was not at all his fault. So then he went out and won yesterday. So I think my money probably would have been on him, but I'm going to go with Kermo, that's for sure.
What about you, Stephen? You've started to follow this show jumping caper pretty closely. Who do you think can win the big one today?
Yeah, well, Kermo... Well, he's got the score on the board, obviously, but I'll give you a quick story. He came to Lindsay Park to visit his brother who was working there, and straight away he was on... This is in Angaston in South Australia. Straight away he was on all the good horses galloping and doing jump outs and things like that because he was such a good rider, you know. So he's all class, and, he's got the score on the board, and he's good for the... in Australia, and as Jess was saying before, it's so difficult overseas, but every one of these riders in Australia are as good as the riders in Europe. Is just too hard to break through because of money, you know. So,
All right, well, thanks for your time on Talking Horses. Really good to have a chat with you both, and wishing you both the best of success with your business, and who knows, may I say, tying the knot might not be too far off. I'm sure you've got plenty of people pressuring you both for that. Yeah. Stephen's gone very quiet.
I broke my legs, so I couldn't.
well, you took, 12 years to finally catch her. Don't let her go.
Thanks, Joe.
Jess Barton and Stephen Pateman joining us on Talking Horses. Been a busy and important night for Peter O'Brien at Sedgen Hostard in the Hunter Valley as he's overseen the arrival of Winx's baby sister. Peter joining us on Talking Horses. How are you, Pete?
Relieved, Joe.
I bet you are.
Haven't had a drink for 2 weeks.
So what time did she arrive?
About 9:10 last night.
Wow.
So it was obviously appropriate on the day her daughter won 20 in a row.
It's incredible, isn't it? The timing of this filly's arrival, only hours off the back of Winx's 20th straight victory in the Group 1 George Main Stakes. And you tweeted a great photo of this little foal. How's she looking?
Honestly, she's the best foal the mare has had. And that's saying something, because she always has nice ones. But she's a big, strong filly, beautiful head, very good legs. And interestingly, like, the unusual thing about Winx, when she was born, she was up on her feet in about 10 or 15 minutes, which for your listeners is quite unusual for a newborn. And this foal was up in 12, so hopefully it's a sign.
Okay. Well, I know it's very early to make comparisons, but having seen some photos of Winx as a foal, there are distinct similarities. Now, this filly is the seventh foal from Vegas Showgirl, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah.
And she's had, of course, the two foals to race, the other one being the group winner by Schnitzel El Divino. So the pedigree is there, and she's got a lot to live up to. For you, it must be, as you said, an incredible relief to have this foal arrive safely, because there's just so much at stake here.
There is, but I must say, you know, the mare is such a dote. She foaled from breaking water. She foaled in 11 minutes. Like, the foal is straight up, and every foal she has, she's just a real professional. There is obviously a huge sense of relief. All we're hoping for, obviously, is that for a healthy foal, and the mare has a normal easy foaling, and she ticked both of those boxes, and we can all rest easy. But it's definitely Winx, when she was born, was sort of a very leggy, leggy, all-leg type of foal, where this foal is a lot stronger, and that would be sort of typical of the stock by her father, Exceed Excel.
Yeah, such a valuable foal. It must be a nerve-wracking time, the next 24, 48 hours, for everybody involved.
It is, yeah, but I mean, really, the risk, you know, is just the foaling process. You sort of know now the foal is running around its yard, and loving the beautiful morning that we're having. So generally, there shouldn't be much less risk now. They're all very healthy.
And how is Vegas Showgirl? She's such a beautiful mare, and I had the privilege of meeting her with you a few weeks ago on the farm. She's got a magnificent temperament. She's a stunning-looking horse. She ticks all the boxes. Importantly, how is she this morning after this foaling?
I'd say she's feeling a lot better. as you saw yourself, Joe, she's just such a lovely natured mare, and you know, she's all dappled up already. She just, you know, she always looks so healthy, and as I said, she's just a professional, and regardless of the celebrity mare that she is, you know, she's a favourite just because she's just so lovely and docile.
Well, I remember you telling me that Winx drove her mad when she was a foal, running around her all day. Can you see that likely happening with this young foal? Is it pretty energetic at this early stage?
Funny you should say that, because when we went down this morning at 5:30, it was doing laps of her. And I was just saying to Fergal here in the farm, I said, God, she's going to get pestered again. But we won't mind if she's 5% as good as her half-sister.
Exactly. All the right signs are there, aren't they?
Absolutely. She's very energetic and thankfully just, you know, beautifully straightforward foaling, which is all we dream of.
Yeah. You've overseen many, many foalings over the years, Peter. This one particularly special for you, I'm sure.
It is, Joe. You know, John bought the mare. We've had her all our life. And, you know, quite obviously she's... like, she's been champion broodmare, obviously, a few years in a row now. And like anyone on a farm, you know, you do get attached to the mares, particularly the ones you've had all your life. So it's like having children and grandchildren.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us this morning, because it's a very busy morning for you all. And, well, we wish you all the best of luck with this foal, who is going to be much the focus of many people, not just in racing, but the broader Australian public as well.
Pleasure, Joe. The vet's glaring at me here.
We better let you get back to it. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Joe. Take care.
And that's all we've got time for on this very busy edition of Talking Horses, and historic at that, with the birth overnight of Wink's baby sister at Sedgen Ho. We're very thankful that Peter O'Brien could join us. It's a very busy time for them on the farm to talk about the arrival of this bub, and we can't wait to follow its progress onto the racetrack. Hope you enjoyed the program. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.